The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All spoken word and dialogue are copyright 2010 by Talking Metal. Stay in touch with Mark and John by sending them an email at TalkingMetal@Yahoo.com.
Hi, this is David Rock Feinstein, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
You're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from Maplewood, New Jersey. Here's Mark Striegel.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel from the Talking Metal Podcast. Check us out on TalkingMetal.com. We always have stuff up in our Wire news section, which is pretty much run by Victor Ruiz and myself. Astronomy occasionally puts up a news item there. And we have the Talking Metal forums going strong. I think we're going to make Victor from Mars Attacks a moderator on the forums. If you guys haven't been to the forums, I'd love to have you join me there. It, again, is the TalkingMetalForums.com, run by a number of people, including Exciter and Zeman and Shotaholic. And we always have a blast hanging out on the forums, chatting with one another. Let's go to the forums right now. I'm going to the podcast section. Here's some comments on episode 326, which was our last episode with Q-Ball. Bert Gabriel says, ha-ha, I love this kind of episode. I think he was referring to the fact that we were maybe drinking a little bit. And I love Bert Gabriel, his comment on... Oh, there's my son. What's up, dude? Yeah, moose. You got a toy moose. Very cool. Bert Gabriel, he quotes astronomy and says, I could have easily been a stockbroker or scientist, but I feel that my chosen path is to rock. John Astronomy, 2009. I don't recall that quote, but it definitely sounds like something John would say. We go on to see Dr. Love checked in, also commenting on our last episode, 326, with Amanda Somerville and Q-Ball. Dr. Love didn't really dig it that much, I guess. He says, sorry to say, I did like the interviews, but I'm not a big fan of the conversations under the influence, which is probably cool if you're in the same zone, but a bit annoying, at least to me, to listen to sober. I think I had only really had one beer when we recorded that. Astronomy, I think, had more than that. But, it was just the bar atmosphere, I think, that added to the craziness. John couldn't hear me that well. He didn't have headphones on, but regardless, Bert Gabriel likes that kind of episode. Dr. Love does not. Guys, thanks for sharing your comments with us on the forums. I want to hook up with you guys and talk more on the forums, TalkingMetalForums.com. The password to get in there is Metal Mike. It's all lowercase letters, all strung together, one word, Metal Mike, our good friend from the Halford Band, who has joined us on a number of Talking Metal podcasts and shows and TV shows and concerts and all sorts of stuff. He's a real member of the family. We love the guy. And I just heard a great interview with him on Chiaki's podcast over there, the Metal Moment podcast, where he talks about some of his cars and stuff. And I've been in Metal Mike's garage. It's really badass. He's got it like painted, the floor, the interior of the garage all striped to match his cars. And it's like a three-car garage. It's pretty awesome. And he lives in this big house up on this hill. in North Jersey, and it's very cool. Very cool. He's got a good setup there. Metal Mike, great guy. Excited to hook up with him at the Halford Ozzy Osbourne show at Madison Square Garden this December. Again, the password to the Talking Metal forums, Metal Mike. Guys, on the show today, David Rock Feinstein. He played an Alf for some time with his cousin, Ronnie James Dio. He had a great band in the 80s called The Rods, put out some great records. And he is back with a great new solo record called Bitten by the Beast. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that record and also a lot about his cousin, the late, great Ronnie James Dio, who actually sings a song on his new solo record, Bitten by the Beast. Right now, let's get into some Ronnie James Dio. There's a brand new record out, Donington, UK Live, the 1983 concert and the 1987 concert that the band Dio performed at Donington. I was just listening to the 1983 concert and insanely good. The packaging is great. It even comes with like laminate type, like almost backstage pass looking laminates for both the concerts, the 83 concert and the 87 concert, and tons of great pictures. The album cover is amazing. Again, there's liner notes, again, two CDs, great stuff. This is one, I know we all tend to go to iTunes and buy the MP3s, but this is one you guys might actually want to go buy the CD, the old school version, the CD version, because the liner notes alone are probably worth the cost. Very cool picture of Dio and Dee Snider in the liner notes I'm looking at right now. Anyways, great stuff. And Dio's vocals on the Holy Diver record and The Last in Line were always just so incredibly fierce. I mean, they were actually throughout his career, but there was something about his vocals united with Vivian Campbell's guitar and Vinny on the drums and Jimmy Bain on bass that was just always magic to me. And that's who is playing on disc one of this new Dio concert, Donington concert CD. And don't forget about Claude Schnell on keyboards, of course. Anyways, enough talk. Let's just check this out. This is the second cut on the new concert CD, Dio, Donington. This is Straight Through the Heart from 1983, live.
Like a long way to fall. No one ever.
That was Straight Through the Heart by Ronnie James Dio, Vinnie Appice, Jimmy Bain, Vivian Campbell, Claude Chanel. A song written by Bain and Dio. Great stuff. You can't top that stuff. Just so good. We miss Ronnie James Dio so much. We have some new Dio stuff on the way. Metal Will Never Die. It's off the Bitten by the Beast album by Dio's cousin, David Rock Feinstein. This is actually essentially Dio with the guys in the Rods on this song. And speaking of the Rods, they will be back with a reunion record, if you will, in 2011. And it's going to feature a second track with Ronnie James Dio. For now, we have this track. It's called Metal Will Never Die. And then we're going to get into my interview with David Rock Feinstein. We will end today's show with another track that does not feature Dio off the Bitten by the Beast record called Smoke on the Horizon. This is a great record. I highly recommend you guys pick it up. I know I say that often, but I sincerely mean it in this instance. Not that I'm pulling your leg promoting albums, but there's just been one or two. But this is not one of them. This is great stuff by a true rock and roll heavy metal legend, David Rock Feinstein, from the Rods fame, from Elf. I actually have one Elf record, and I pulled it out and noticed David Rock Feinstein was not on that record. So I'm not exactly sure when he was in Elf, but I know he was in that band with his cousin Ronnie James Dio for some time. Regardless, this is David Rock Feinstein, the guys in the Rods, and Ronnie James Dio on a song called Metal Will Never Die, available on the Bitten by the Beast record by David Rock Feinstein.
Never die!
Hey, this is Mark Striegel from the Talking Metal Podcast, and we are very honored because today we have David, who is known for a lot of different things, including his work with the band The Rods. I first discovered The Rods back probably as a 13, 14-year-old when you guys were a part of the U.S. Metal Volume 3 record. Any memories of being a part of that?
Yeah. There was actually there was quite a few volumes, and it was really a big deal for us because it was a first time that we got to be on record, recorded. So yeah, those were cool records, and there's a lot of good memories from that.
And another thing I remember about The Rods is you guys always had some crazy album covers. If it was maybe a half naked girl or a three headed wolf, and as a 13-year-old, 14-year-old metal fan back in those days, those really would always jump out at me on from the bins at the record store. Did you get a lot of shit for provocative album covers back in the day?
We did get some, not so much for the Wild Dogs album. The first Rods album was pretty, pretty generic as far as, being wild or anything. But we did get some flack from the one where we had the semi-naked girl on.
Was that Let Them Eat Metal? That was Let Them Eat Metal, I think.
Let Them Eat Metal, and she had, a thing in her hand. But, yeah, we got a little, in fact, that was actually on TV as, somebody was, talking about how terrible it was to have all these, these album covers, and all of a sudden it was, I don't know if it was, it was, years ago, so I can't really remember what show it was, but it was a show like Jay Leno or right. something like that where they were interviewing and somebody was protesting the fact that, they had these terrible looking album covers, but, and the cover was on there. We go, oh, that's great, our cover made it to television, so.
Good press, right? Yeah.
But that's the only time we had a problem, not a problem, but, it was made aware of, so.
Cool, and I want to talk about what you're up to now, but just real quick, it's disappointing that the Rods aren't on iTunes, and a lot of those albums are kind of hard to find nowadays. Why is that?
Well, I think it's just a matter of, because for one thing, Era still owns the first two albums, and they were reissued, a lot of them were reissued back in the mid-90s by a German label, but they're not even available anymore. And the Heavier Than Thou and the Hollywood album weren't included in that group. So those were never reissued. But now, since my album is on the Niji Entertainment Group, the new Rods album will also be released on that label sometime in the spring. So I think you're going to probably see all the Rods catalog, reissued at some point in time.
Cool. And Carl Kennedy from the band The Rods, who went on to actually produce a lot of groundbreaking albums by bands like Possessed and Megadeth. He is a part of this album, your new, I guess we call it solo album, right? And he plays on the song that everybody's talking about, Metal Will Never Die. Was that originally intended for the next album by The Rods?
Well, how it worked out is, Ronnie and I had been talking for quite some time about collaborating on a project. We didn't know if it was, we talked about doing an Elf reunion thing. We talked about, Ronnie said, I could sing a song on your solo album, next solo album, or I could sing a song on the Rods album, or, it could be associated with a Dio band or, something like that. We wanted to do something. And the logistics of the whole thing with him being, we live in 3,000 miles apart, and his schedule always being, a busy one, we talk about it, and then we wouldn't see each other, and we'd kind of get forgotten, and we'd get back together. I'd go visit him. We'd work on a few songs, and then I'd leave. And, so it was a great idea. We both wanted to do it. In the back of my mind, I really didn't know if it would ever happen. So about 2 years ago, Ronnie was coming back home, more often because his mother was ill. So he was making frequent trips back. And I got a phone call one day, and he goes, I'm coming up. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be there for a few days, so it'll probably be a good time. I could sing a couple songs, So
this is 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's about 2 years ago. So Carl and I at the time were working on new material for Rod's new album, So I told Carl, I said, we have to pick out a couple songs for Ronnie. And out of the, just coincidentally, I had written Metal Will Never Die a day prior to when Ronnie called. And weird the way it happened, because I don't usually just sit down and write a whole song in its entirety. the musical part, the lyrics, the melody, and everything in one sitting. I usually, you know, I might come up with a riff. I'll fool around with it, you know, for a while. I'll come up with a concept, a title, blah, blah, blah. But this song came together, like, instantaneously. So the next day when Carl and I got together, I said, Carl, we need to put a demo version of this down because I'm going to forget about it. I didn't have anything on tape or anything. So we used a drum machine, and I put a scratch bass, scratch guitar, scratch, you know, everything on a scratch vocal track. And that was when we listened to that when it was down, and it said, Ronnie's got to sing this song. You know, it wasn't that I wrote the song with him in mind, but when I heard it in demo form, I said, this is a great song. He's coming in tomorrow. And we picked that song, and we picked another song that Carl wrote. So there are two songs. So I picked Ronnie and Wendy up at the airport the next day and brought them in. I gave Ronnie a CD with these demos on it, which we didn't listen to that night because we just socialized that night. The next day he came to the studio, and we basically put the CD in a boom box. He listened to it for a few minutes and went in and sang a world-class performance like he always did, you know, right, on the song, and made it his own, you know, did the right things on it. And, okay, and, you know, it came out like it was meant to be that way, you know. So, you know, Carl had always, I told Carl before we did the session, I said, you're not going to believe the way Ronnie works, because it's not like, oh, I can't do it, you know, let's work on this line and work on that line. I said, he'll come in and he'll nail it, you know, within the first couple takes. And then the only reason he'll do another take is to try something different, you know, right, like he might want to try a little harmony part or something there. So afterwards, Carl said, you know, I didn't really understand what you were saying until I watched him work, you know. But make a long story short, he came in and listened to this demo in like a couple minutes and did like an incredible job on both songs. One of his unique talents was is he could tell what a particular song needed. Like, in other words, if you gave him, like, you know, I Left My Heart in San Francisco to sing, he could sing that song and sing it beautifully, you know, because he would know what to do with it, you know. So he had that knack to know that Metal Will Never Die needed a little bit more edge, you know, and that's what he did to it, you know. So we had these two songs, you know, now recorded. And we didn't know if they were going to go on a solo album, Rod's album. You know, we knew that I knew I was doing a solo album, and we knew we were doing a Rod's album, and we had these two songs. So that was it. So quite a bit of time, months went by, you know, over a year went by. And the end of last year, I started working on my solo album, and at the same time, we're working on a Rod's album. So as it turned out, I finished my solo album before the Rod's album. You know, Rod's album isn't quite done yet, but I finished my solo album. And a lot of that solo album was written, the lyrics and the melodies that I had for those songs were put together, like, after I found out that Ronnie was diagnosed, you know. So there's a lot of, I was in a, you know, pretty sad emotional state, you know, when a lot of that was going on. Some of the songs reflect that, you know, that's on this album. But I just felt that, like, When the solo album was done, and I talked to Wendy, and we knew it was going to come out on Niji Management or the Niji Entertainment Group label that her and Ronnie actually started before Ronnie even got sick, we figured it would be great to have one song that he sang on my solo album and the other song on the new Rod's album. And the fact that you know, I had written "Metal Will Never Die," that seemed like the appropriate song, and it's just an eerie, you know. It's eerie the way everything came together, you know.
Yeah, including the lyrics of the song. Yeah, At one point, Ronnie says, "Metal will never die. I'll never die," and I mean, he really never will, because his music's going to live on forever.
So it's so eerie that, you know, I happened to write the song a day before he came. That he chose that weekend to come up and sing, and the fact that the horrific, you know, turn of events that happened with him passing in the last year. In this whole song coming together, this whole song is like a tribute to him. You know, we'll go down as like something that everybody's going to remember.
And he, in a way, kind of started his career with you in Elf, and as sad as it sounds, is kind of finishing it with this song and the song which we can't wait to hear, which will be on the next Rod's record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just thankful and real happy that we got a chance to do something together. This song is probably the most important song to me now that I've ever written. Yeah. And it will be always, because he's on it singing, you know. It's just, you know, a certain thing about it. So
And it's an amazing song, and I do hope that it doesn't completely overshadow all the other songs on the record, which there's some great stuff on there. And we're encouraging all the Talking Metal listeners to get the record when it comes out in late November. We will have links up in today's show notes. Niji Entertainment, you mentioned it is very cool that you're working with Wendy on this release. And this is actually the first non-Dio release to ever come out on Niji, right?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, this is their second release only, because their first release was the Dio at Donington, 83 and 87, that was just released. Yeah.
And I know you're in a hurry here to jump to another interview, but I did want to ask you. Now, Dio actually came to the mastering of this record, Bitten by the Beast, and was that when he was already sick at that point?
Yeah, Ronnie got diagnosed in November, almost a year ago. And, you know, we were in touch, you know, and I said, I'm going to come out. I want to come out for two reasons. I want to come out for a visit to see you, and I want to come out while I'm there. I want to master the album with you, you know. And because he always said, well, come out here and master it, and we'll go to the studio that I always go to. I'll introduce you to my engineer. And I said, that's great. So I went out in March, and we actually went to the studio together, and he was there when we both mastered the album together with his engineer. I got introduced to Wynn Davis, who was a great engineer that worked with Ronnie for years and years.
Oh, March 2010, so that was very close to the end for him.
Yeah, it was basically 2 months before he passed away. And so I you know, that's another thing I feel really good about. I mean, it was the fact that he was there to help master it and be part of that.
Cool. David, I wanted to ask you about, I know we're spending a lot of time on Dio in this interview, but there's been a number of people who I feel have kind of, I'll use the words, almost jumped on a bandwagon and are doing all these quote-unquote tributes. And to the longtime fan as myself, a lot of it almost seems in bad taste as though they're maybe profiting off of the loss of one of our favorite, you know, rock stars of all time. Can you comment a little bit on that? And do you suggest that fans avoid some of these tributes to Dio?
Well, you know, the way the world is today, you know, if there's money to be made anywhere, there's, you know, people are going to be out there trying to make it. I know that there's a lot of tributes going on, and I think the ones that are only sanctioned by the Niji Entertainment Group that can be proven with their, you know, wording on there are the ones that are true tributes, you know. And that's the only thing I can say is kind of watch out what you're doing, because anybody can have a tribute, and you don't know where that money's going. But if it's sanctioned by Niji, you know it's a legitimate thing. And when they do it, if you donate $10 or $2 into, like, something that's, you know, Niji put together, all that money is going right to the fund and to the cause, because there's no, you know, there's no fees that come out. You know, there's no office fees and this fee and that fee like a big corporation. So I just say, you know, to the fans, just watch what you're doing, you know, because you could be just putting money in somebody else's pocket that's trying to scam something. So, and I'm sure there's things like that out there. But.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. I wanted to invite you and Carl back when you guys are doing a promotion for the Rods album. When can we expect that?
I think tentatively like April, May of, you know, 2011.
And we can expect another track by Dio to appear on that record. That's something I didn't know. That's very exciting.
Yeah, there's another song that he's the other song that he sang is going to be on that record, and it's a great song also. It's really a Dio-esque type of song. I think everybody's going to love that song too.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much. Enjoy your time in New York, and we look forward to talking to you hopefully again in 2011.
I look forward to that also. Thank you for having me. Thanks. Thank you for having me. Cool.